Welcome to Joy of the Gospel, a renewal for parish life based on three principles: good community, good teaching and preaching, and good music. Unit 2, Jesus Christ, His Call and the Christian Community, is presented by Catholic Archbishop Christopher Krauss.
So everybody, what's in front of you now is from the 12th century. It is one of the most beautiful religious mosaics in Rome. I wouldn't say it's in the world, but in Rome it's one of the best. A mosaic is thousands and thousands of little coloured ceramic chips. This is a beautiful art form that reached its perfection in about the Middle Ages, 12th, 13th, 14th century, and it reaches perfection most in Venice, in Italy. So around that time they were building this basilica, which I'll talk to you about now, that's in Rome, and they got the artisans from Venice to come down and they put this together. Also, second point, please remember that in the 12th century, talk about change of era, they would have been staggered to know that in a few hundred years most people would be literate. But in the 12th century, the vast majority of people were illiterate. So if they couldn't read or write, how do you transmit the catechism to them? Well, you do that in art form. Hence we have the stained glass windows, which we have here in Australia pretty well. Some of the best in Australia actually in this archdiocese at Burrowa. And because there's German and English, but the art form we're talking about here is mosaic. So here we have here, this is the Basilica of St. Clemente. St. Clemente is just near the Colosseum. So the next time you go to Rome, you might want to go and visit this. I lived in Rome for 5 years. Very often people would come and they'd only have an afternoon or a morning. And if they only had a few hours, I'd say, I'll meet you at, and I'll tell them where this, we go to this basilica. I wouldn't take them to the Vatican. I wouldn't take them to the other big basilicas because they don't have enough time. But if they only got an hour or two, off we go here. There's three churches, one on top of the other. This one's a 12th century church, and underneath it is a 7th century church. And underneath that goes down to the time of Christ, and it's at the road level of 2,000 years ago. And down there you find a Christian home, what we call a Domus Ecclesia, Christian home. A church, they didn't have the churches, they met in homes. And they also had next door to it a temple of Mithras, which was a pagan cult, which the gladiators delighted in, which included the ritual death of a bull, and the blood covered all on them. It was what you and I would call a macabre sort of way of doing it. But next door, they were celebrating the Eucharist. Anyway, that's another story. I'm not going to that story, I'm going to the top story. And I'm jumping right up. But you can go to the three levels in one visit. It's marvellous. It's not known much. But I want to tell you now about this pretty smartly. So this is an enormous mosaic. It would go from over there to over there, that's right, and twice as much vertically. And There it is. So I'll do the outside part first. It's a bit like the frame of a window. So up here, if you can't see it from where you are, go to what you've got in front of you. Up here is called the Pan Creator. It's Jesus Christ holding the scriptures in one hand. And in the other hand, as you can see, looks like he's got arthritis. He's going like that. He hasn't got arthritis. He's blessing us with his blessing hand. And what is he blessing us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus fully human and Jesus fully divine. That's about 1,000 years of Catholic theology in one hand. Again, we're talking to illiterate people and the symbolism of which we are very verbose today. And we've sort of lost the idea of looking at something and being educated by it. But here, people would stand in front of this for hours, and it's a non-spoken catechism. Here we have the clouds, the angels, the celestial heights. Here we have, this is St. Peter. Here we have St. Clement. We know it's St. Clement because the martyrs always carry the things that cause them their martyrdom. He's carrying an anchor. He was the third or fourth successor of St. Peter, the Pope. Pope number one, here's Pope number three or four, St. Clement, of which the whole Basilica is dedicated to, and he's holding an anchor. He was exiled to what we now call the Black Sea and was thrown overboard with an anchor attached to him, and he drowned. Over here, we have, looking down on the frame there, this is St. Paul. Today is the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. And St. Paul is sitting next to this. Now, I wonder if anybody can guess, there's a Mars bar for this. The four of them are four martyrs of Rome. And this one, he's standing on a grate and he's wearing a particular outfit. Who is this man? What is the name of this saint? St. Lawrence. Mars bar. There's a great devotion to St. Lawrence in Rome. And I live just next door to the church, which is a major... they think his remains ended up under that particular church. But that's like a barbecue. He was barbecued for the Lord. And he's putting his feet on that which caused his death. And he's wearing the... what is this called? Anybody know? Who said that? Yeah, what do you do? Yeah, Paul? Cherry ripe. He was a deacon. He's wearing a dalmatic. So we've got a few deacons here tonight. So they're sort of like looking on. So they're from the heavenly heights looking on. Isaiah and Jeremiah, the great prophets of the Old Testament. Isn't it interesting how Christianity is standing on the shoulders of the Old Testament? See what they're getting at? The Old Testament Christianity stands on the shoulders of the Old Testament. And then down here we have Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And 6:6 here, so there's the 12 apostles. They all look rather fat, don't they? And it's quite deliberate. With the Lord, there is plenty. You're not going to be running out of food with the Lord. With the Lord, there's an abundance. Mary McKillop, that's a great word. Providence and abundance. So there we have. And then here we have in Latin, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. What we say every Sunday at the Mass, the Gloria. And that frames it all. Okay, so that's the frame, the whole creation looking on. But it's framed very much in Jesus Christ, St. Paul, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, what we do at the vigil at Easter. So Jesus frames everything, the way, the truth and the life. Everything comes to him and comes from him. He frames everything. So now let's look at the body of the mosaic. This one is called the Cairo. I'm wearing it right here on my Episcopal ring. Cairo is the first two, X and P are the first two letters of Christ in the Greek language. And here is A and here is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. Going back again to the Easter Vigil, Christ, the beginning and the end. And that's it was sort of like an initial of Jesus, which was used quite a bit too when we're under persecution. They just put that there, this is a Christian home. It's a bit like the fish, ichthus, that's called ichthus. This is called Cairo. Anyway, these are Greek words. And here we have the firmament of heaven. We've got the clouds and everything. And here we have a hand. This is the symbol, ancient symbol of God the Father. The fatherhood of God, God the Father, hand. Hands are so important to us today, you know. Hand goes out, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. Last night, the last few nights when I'm doing confirmation, hands out like this, the coming down of the Spirit, you know, the epiclesis we call it during the Mass. Every sacrament there's a hand motion like this, the coming down of God. So the hand is an ancient symbol of the Father, of God the Father. Isn't this interesting? The hand of God touches the cross. The coming down, there's a descending motion here, the coming down of God in Jesus. It's in St. Paul of the Philippians. Though he was in the form of God, God did not, he emptied himself in coming down as a human being like us in all things but sin. And yet further he suffered death on a cross. There it is, right in the center, the death of Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and what about all these birds here? They're doves, symbol both of peace and the Holy Spirit. Ancient symbols of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation people, children know all about this. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you have here the Trinity. Do not talk about Christianity unless it's shadowed in every moment with the Trinity. Trinity's not over there like a tail on a donkey and the rest of it's over here. No, Trinity is everything. Look at that. 12th century, catechesis in a visual form, you can't go past the Trinity. It's in your face. It's everywhere. So there we are, the coming down of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The coming down. What's this? Water. Baptism. Sacraments. Water. What's down here? As the deer yearns for running streams, so my heart yearns for your Lord. Look at all this water coming down. So here comes from the Psalm, I think it's Psalm 42, the deer's yearning for running streams. Here are the running streams. The waters of baptism give life. And over here, it's we sort of like the waters on of a river coming here. What's this? Peacock. What's a peacock a symbol of? Another one here. Symbols of eternity. Ancient symbols. We got that from pagan culture, but we've taken it on. Just as we took on the worship of the sun at the Christmas time, the change of the solstice. We say it's not S-U-N, it's S-O-N, the Son of God, the dawn that will never set. All these ancient symbols. What's happening here? The shepherd with the sheep. All the parables of Jesus are along here. Along here. On the stream, the running stream coming down from the downward motion. Now, what's all this about? Where the waters of baptism, so it's the beginning of something. It's the beginning of something enormous. What's happening? The seed, we had this in the gospel of tonight, the beginning of the seed planted in the baptism will give life. Look what's happening. What's all this? I am the vine, you are the branches. Here are the branches, everybody. All around. And what's all this happening? The vine is so, you can't see it, unfortunately. You'll have to go to Rome and check it out. but you can get an image of the vines are circling people in their everyday work. There's teachers, there's bakery people, the people in the baking the bread, there's mothers and fathers, the people in their everyday occupation being surrounded by the branches. What they're doing is not just work, they're doing the work of God. Opus Dei, the work of God. What they're doing is they're living out their baptism. So although we always say, oh, this is what the Vatican II said, it's not, yes, of course Vatican II said it. It's been said, though. It's been said for 2,000 years. We rediscover. Are you awake? Are you awake? I'm sorry, I get a bit excited about these things. So here we are here. If you go around, you're all sorts of symbols of eternity, symbols of everyday life. So here we are, the downward motion, and then there's an upward motion. See? This is all starts here, the baptism, new life, verdant growth. About this, first of all, the first thing is it is dynamic. It is not static. By dynamic, I mean it's ongoing. When you look at this and it's explained to you, say, I am looking at not something of the 12th century. I am looking at something that's happening now. It's evolving now. The kingdom of God is happening now. Even when Jesus, I love that passage, was in the scriptures, one of the masses recently. The sower plants the seed and then he goes to sleep at night. We don't know what's happening, but he wakes up and it's growing. It's not so much all about me and me doing something for God. Yes, of course, that's an aspect. God, it's God's church. It's God's idea. It's the kingdom of God that's growing in us. Yes, of course, we mess things up. We've got all the Royal Commission and all the rest of it, and we mess it up. We've messed it up in history. We all have. But God still chooses us. He works in us. He chose this man over here. He denied him 3 times. This one over here was persecuting the Christians. He chooses the foolish to confound the wise. He chooses us foolish to confound others who say they're the wise ones. It's God's church. And it's happening from his life, death and resurrection until he comes again. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We are in the middle of this right now. This might be 12th century, but it's also 2018. This is something of the miracle of God, the seed growing in our midst. His call to us is getting, allow my vine to encircle you in whatever you do. It's not just your work, it's my work in you. It's ongoing. Until I come again, we are in it together, and I will be there till the end of time, and the fullness of this beautiful garden, the garden of God, will continue. This is an image of the church. This is what we call ecclesiology. Here is the church gathered together, doing the work of God, but knowing that God himself is the animator of everything we do. Therefore, it's our mission, our evangelization is happening there. We get on with it. Don't wait till you're perfect. You start where you are now, and off you go. God is with you. He has said he's with you. You've been baptized in Christ. There's no looking back. He is with us till the end of time. We have victory in our DNA. God is victorious. He has won the battle, and the battle is continuing on, but the growth is going because of the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many more minutes have I got? One minute. I only need one more minute to tell you something. Now, this you look up at it. This is the back of the altar. The altar is down here, and I celebrated Mass there about 18 months ago with a group, but the people are really down. The sanctuary is right up high. The people are down in like a very deep down. So when they're looking at you, it's sort of like a 45 degree angle. I thought, oh, they messed this whole church up because you know, I feel a long way away. I'm sort of, the Lord be with you. But that's from the priest's point of view. But when you go down there as participating in the Mass, you're looking up. And when I raise the host, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, this is shadowing it. Can you see what I'm getting at? This is happening every time you celebrate the Mass in sacramental form. It's Eucharistic. Everybody, this is great news. You and I thought, oh, we're much better than the people of 1,000 years ago. I don't think so. I don't think so. We're not doing this. We're writing books. We're putting down a lot of talks. We've got the DVDs. We've got the CDs. Where is the artwork? Where is the poetry? You and I belong to a very, very visual religion. Yes, it's academic and written, but it's mainly visual. Thanks be to God. Amen.